It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
I don't know. We can't see the bottom half of Brennan's screen, so I'm not sure what he was doing.
He was having an orgasm. That's what he was doing.
I saw him forget to make the faces and then remember to make the faces.
That's exactly what happened, Rob. Thank you for calling me out per usual.
All right, you guys. Welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad is back in full effect. Myself.
Full effect.
Brennan, Ice, Rob. We are all here this week.
All here.
You know, we do on an anime shun podcast. We review anime. We talk our shit. We have debates. We do one-off. We watch the movies. We talk our shit on here. And this week, we continue the rising of the shield hero, which is Brennan, Mr. Producer Faces Pick, episodes 11 through 15. And, you wanna lead us off, Rob?
Or get can I start with one.
I got one. Say what you need to say, man.
Oh God, I just realized what was about to happen. Okay, either way. what I was gonna say real quick is Keenan and I are gonna be having some one-off episodes pretty soon, which I'm pretty excited about. A one-off episode for Promised Neverland for Keenan. And we're probably going to have a special episode because somebody has been very disrespectful in my office recently about a certain show, My Hero Academia. I'm not going to say what they said, but Keenan, do you agree that this does not require a specialty episode for what this man has said about this show?
At least like a segment, like a 30-minute, like if it's not a full length episode, and it might get full length because we're going to probably end up crushing this dude for his opinion about this, but
I'm going to do research. I'm coming with literal facts. Like I'm going to say, here's the timeline of everything that happened. Here's this. Tell me how you support what you just said. That's what it's going to be. I'm going all the way. I already know
why he supports it. So that's why
I'm just saying, for me, I'm like, I'm worried about Ice being there. I need Ice to be there because I don't know if Ice is going to agree or not. That's the thing. Like,
wait, Keenan, you like Promise in Neverland?
We're going to talk about that. That's what the episode's about, bro.
I thought it was fucked up.
It's so fucked up.
I think it's just one of those things that Brennan overhyped and it kind of ruined the experience for me.
Well, I don't remember Brennan overhyping it for me.
I don't remember Brennan overhyping it either. I said it fucked me up.
Oh, no. We can pull the tape. You all consistently.
You never pull the tape after you say that, so go ahead and pull the tape.
I did.
I have
several times already.
Pull the tape.
Especially.
I'm asking you to pull the tape.
You said, like, that shit is fucked up. Because I remember Keenan giving you a hard time about being.
I agree with that.
About being a little bitch. About being a little bitch about a certain something happened on Blaze of the Immortal or something like that, and you was all like, "No, if you want to know some fucked up shit, like I've been
ask
up
Keenan,
all night."
Was it fucked up?
Promising it. I watched the show. It was. It had its moments, but
that's
the way
it.
That
that's
you,
the answer.
Like,
you literally disagreed with me. There's nothing else to say.
The way that you did,
it was fucked up. You just agreed it's fucked up. Moving on. Go ahead
and
say your thing.
I'm thinking I'm going into like some
song. I am an excited human being, Ice. I'm excited about anything
Maybe I don't remember Brennan hyping it that far up like you do. I just personally don't remember. So when the situation happened, I was like, oh, fuck. So I just don't remember.
Like,
Brennan
were you losing sleep over it? Brennan said he was losing sleep.
I never said I was losing sleep. I've never said
you did. You said I couldn't.
Tape.
I was
pull
so fucked
tape.
Up.
Pull
okay,
the tape.
I had to do the research.
I need to tell you. Brennan said he was losing sleep. I don't.
He was
lose
like
sleep.
I wasn't. I couldn't sleep after.
I said I watched one.
Everybody's gonna be showing up with notes next episode.
Yeah, I want actual tape. Ice, you talking? I want you.
Well, it's funny. What Brennan's talking about wasn't about that, but I would say, also, we're all different when it comes to that type of emotion. Like, normally an anime is not going to fully probably fuck me up that way to where I'm going to lose sleep. But so, I mean, it's just different.
But either way, everybody agrees that show is fucked up. Nobody's gonna argue with that, right?
It was okay. It was okay.
You just said it earlier.
I said it had its fucked up moments. Let's move on to the episode. Hey, man, I'm just so happy to be back in full effect with the squad. All of us together at the beginning, middle, and end. I just want to say, first and foremost, and lastly, this is the greatest. Nah, you see Rob shaking his head because he knows that this is the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
In the entire world. I'm with it.
The greatest.
I'm leaning into it at this point.
Why not? I appreciate you, bro.
The worst thing you can do is be against it, because when you're against it, like Brennan is,
I'm not against like that he's happy with that what we're doing. I'm just like, it's like we shouldn't be the one saying that is where I'm at. Like, that's what other people should say.
And I get that also. You let people, it's like, you know, Bron is just probably now saying he feels like he's probably a GOAT, but he was just like, I'm going to let everybody else figure it out, and I'm going to just play my game.
He wants his damn respect, too.
LeBron was saying he the best for a minute.
I mean,
since the Dallas series, he was saying it.
The one when he lost the Dallas series?
Yeah, and they was giving him shit for saying it, then losing the series.
Maybe that's what kept him quiet for a while. Yeah,
humbled his ass after that. That was the case. I don't remember that per se, but you know. All right, Rob, go ahead and get your shit off, man.
Episode. That's 11. A good transition, because there's some people getting humbled on this week's episodes. Nafumi and his growing team prep for the next wave with a ton of potions and medicines, along with some new weapons from Boss. But the strongest new item seemed to be the accessories he crafted for Raftali and Philo. Jewelry, basically, that he made himself, Philo. You know, using a Philo. He made some jewelry for him. Basically, Raftalia's enhances her magic, and Philo's, you know, it gives her like a boost to her speed, you know, classic video game stuff. The clock hits zero and they are transported to the next wave site. Mostly they do what they did last time, evacuate the nearby towns that are under attack, while the other three heroes kind of handle the main threat. And now Fumi and crew are handling business. But they also get some help from an old woman monk who we actually met earlier, as one of the sick people that Fumi had cured. So another one of those setups and payoffs that we've seen coming back. However, the wave doesn't seem to be ending after a long time. So now Fumi leaves his underlings behind to protect the city, while he, Raftalia, and Philo head off to see what is taking so long with the main fight. And when they arrive, they find the three heroes kind of in a stalemate, fighting against this floating ghost pirate ship, unable to make any headway towards the final boss. They strike their enemies down, but they just keep popping right back up. And there's a lot of infighting going on, but now Fumi kind of settles them down, comes up with the answer. Using Raftalia's light magic, they're able to do some real damage against these shadow enemies and summon the final boss, which is this dimensional soul eater, kind of like a demonic koi fish looking thing. Again,
he looks like the one of the, I mean, I guess Keenan would only know this, but he looks like one of the moons on Demon Slayer.
Oh, yeah, a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, Rob is, well, I don't know where Rob is at, but Rob said he's
Rob, you watched it. He looks like the one that's in the gourd.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about, for sure. I just finished that arc, actually. But yeah, literally that just snuck it in there. The other three heroes, basically proved to be useless against the dimensional soul leader, but Raftali and, Philo are able to, you know, chip away some damage. But now Fumi decides, you know, hey, he's got to end it quickly. So, he uses his Raid Shield ability, with Raftali there, try and keep him balanced. Now Fumi, summons the power of the dragon they defeated, and it seems to affect Philo as well, since she swallowed that other crystal. Using the dragon's rage, she creates all new armor for himself, and he and Philo attack the boss while the other heroes are basically spurred on by Raftalia, who's like, you know, what the fuck are you doing? Basically to attack the lesser enemies and hold them back. But it's now Fumi who gets the final moment of glory as he combines his shield abilities to create some ultimate attack called the Iron Maiden, which kills the Soul Eater once and for all. That shit was crazy. Pretty that fucking metal.
The entrance of it and everything.
Yeah, it's like,
that shit was kind
of
cold.
You just don't see that coming. Like, from the type of magic we've seen from the Shield Hero thus far, you're just like, oh, okay, cool. What's he going to do? Throw some little fire at him? It's like, nah. Like, put you in a ball.
Look up, little bitch.
Yeah. Go have a ride. It's going to be a little fun ride for you.
Yeah, man.
I mean, with a name like Iron Maiden, like that shit, like when he said, I'm like, bro, this shit better be cold, bro. Like, don't call it Iron Maiden and come out with some bullshit.
Did not disappoint.
No.
Not at all.
Unfortunately, though, it's not the end of the wave. Another Soul Eater appears, but it's instantly killed by this mysterious woman. We saw at the end of last week's episode, she introduces herself as Glass and insults the heroes for their weakness, other than the Shield Hero. And then asks if they're ready for the final boss wave.
Fuck you, you're cool. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. And a direct hiccup or pickup. The other heroes can't swallow their pride and launch into a reckless attack against Glass, but she defeats them all easily, single-handedly. Easy. Leaving only now Fumi and his friends to defeat her, but they don't really fare much better as she blocks all of Philo's kicks, breaks Roth Talia's sword. Now Fumi resorts to the Rage Shield again, but the power-up does nothing for Philo, and even the new ultimate Iron Maiden attack is useless against her. Does nothing.
She's like, oh, that I thought that was worse than that. Yeah. I was like, damn. How they gonna bring the new power in the same episode and make it nothing?
Exactly. That was my thoughts exactly. I'm like, usually when somebody use a dope ass attack, they let that shit ride for a couple episodes. They don't immediately call it trash within 5 minutes of it coming out.
Like, kill the dimensional being was like, I'm a boss. Immediately comes out and she was like, oh, that looked like it hurt more than it did. Huh. Crazy. On the ground.
The Kamehameha was hard for like 2-3 seasons, like, and then all of a sudden, that's like somebody looking at the spirit bomb and be like, all right, fam, like, get that shit out of here. Get that spirit bomb.
You mean like Jiren did?
Jiren, bro.
It took him a whole other show to get to that, though.
That was seasons. That's true.
That's true.
Yeah, but, and now Fumi sees that, you know, he's like, oh man, we're facing defeat. So they immediately bail. And Glass gives chase, but luckily for the heroes, there's a time limit on these waves and she's got to halt the attack. They basically win by default, more or less. And though they seem to avoid, you know, too much damage or death, everyone is kind of shaken, you know, with this encounter with Glass. And now Fumi knows they'll have to get much stronger by the next wave to beat her, which means class upgrades for his party members, new shield types for him, all that stuff. So for his efforts, now Fumi is alone, summoned in front of the king. And he asks, the king asks him, like, you know, how do you use those powers? But now Fumi's like, if you want the answers, you can beg for it. clearly, yeah. Things don't go well. It's not a good meeting. So when he leaves to turn his back on the king threatens him and his friends. And now Fumi's like, I dare you to touch a hair on anybody's head and I will hunt you to the ends of the earth. Like, I dare you to touch it. But on his way out, though, he runs into a woman from court who compliments him on his work, offers him a warning about the church and what's kind of going on behind the scenes. Melty, meanwhile, yells at her dad for not doing more to help the Shield Hero. And the king confesses, like, he's just trying to protect his family. But Miney shows up and wrecks that conversation as well. Elsewhere, now Fumi, she's good. She shows up and she wrecks shit. Yeah. Elsewhere, now Fumi and the group meet with Boss and they make travel plans to find out, you know, another kingdom where they can all go to make their class upgrades. As they head out, Boss replaces Roth Talia's broken sword and also gives her a mana sword that will work against spirit creatures. So he also gives him a couple other things, an accessory for the shield that will help analyze its powers, and also some gloves in case Philo can't pull the cart for some reason that enhance their strength. Now Fumi is happy to be on the road again, but soon gets an unpleasant surprise when Melty shows up asking him to return to the capital to smooth things over with their dad. Meanwhile, while they talk, now Fumi realizes something is off and this must be a trap. And in that moment, one of the guards rushes forward to kill Melty, but now Fumi blocks the attack just in time. And after saving her, the guards accuse now Fumi of kidnapping Melty against her will and leap into fighting. The gang fights back only to incapacitate, not to kill. And, you know, the guards end up running, but elsewhere, you know, magicians are using Magic Premiere Pro to edit the footage to make it look like it's a bloodbath. Now Fumi and his party were responsible. And of course the footage, you know, gets spread all over the country now. And, you know, they're all wanted for Melty.
First viral video in history.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah. As they discuss it later, now Fumi and the group figure, you know, this must be tied to the capital's religion, which only worships the other three heroes and not the shield. One of the guards even referred to him as a devil, you know, with his rage power shields or his rage shield powers. And there's little doubt that Miney must be behind this assassination attempt. In the end, they decide to leave the country, ditching their cart to move quickly and quietly. And Melty's going to join them for her own safety. Unfortunately, they find the guards wherever they go and don't find crossing the border easy. The next night, Nafumi explains to Melty what happened, why he doesn't get along with her family, and she's confused. Like, her mom's the queen. She wanted to help the Shield Hero and wanted him to be treated well, and after all, like, she's in charge. Melramark is a matriarchal monarchy. She has the power over the king, but before things can be settled, they discover they've been found out by the royal guards that are tracking them. They try to make their escape, but get spotted when Melty nearly falls off a cliff, and they're cornered by Miney and the other heroes. As Melty does speak up for herself and says, you know, hey, like, my sister is trying to kill me. Some of the other heroes clearly start to, you know, kind of believe her story, but Miney shouts she's been brainwashed by the Shield. The sword hero tries to convince Nafumi to hand over Melty, but, you know, she tells him, like, if I go back now, like, she will kill me. So he makes a desperate move instead and runs. As they run, the spear hero, you know, uses a magical device to keep Philo from taking her strength, basically takes her strength away and prevents her from transforming. Seems like things are lost, but Melty breaks out some magic of her own. And in a fury, Miney just starts attacking Melty, like, with fireballs, and her story just continues to crumble further. Now, Fumi uses his raid shield to protect her, while Raftali uses the mana sword for the first time, basically just to run Miney through to, you know, distract him for just a second. They're able to make their escape, and now Fumi, you know, tells the sword hero, like, hey, like, you're a smart dude. Get to the bottom of this. Like, look into this. And leaves him with the symbol from the church, basically as a clue. And later, they remove the device from Philo, and, you know, the queen spy makes contact. And it's the same woman now Fumi saw at court. She carries a message that the queen wants to meet with him. And now Fumi, you know, she wants to explain to him everything that's going on. And elsewhere, Miney's just burning down the forest to try and find these people.
Bro, so tell me that's not the ultimate depiction of Petty. Like, she literally burned an entire forest to find them. Like, wow. Sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely. No, but she's continuing her search, burning down the whole forest. Now Fumi and crew, like, is looking for them like a lunatic. But they managed to keep up the escape, now with the goal of meeting the queen. And before long, they're able to make contact with a friend of Melty's, who's a local lord. He has power in the area, but Raftali is kind of becoming a bit worried and sensitive as they get closer to the location of her old village that was destroyed in the first wave. And she says that after the destruction, it was the royal guards that came in and enslaved the villagers. And Melty's like, hey, I'll help you get justice eventually, you know, when I get back in power. Suddenly, Melty's friend appears. His name is Reinkot, or Reichnot. Though he seems friendly, now Fumi recognizes this guy must have a lot of skill to just sneak up on us. So he takes him back to his mansion, gives them food, a place to rest, but their enemies are on the move. Miney is continuing to manipulate her father, who truly seems to believe that Nafumi kidnapped Melty, and, you know, he curses that his family's being targeted again. So kind of coming into question whether and how much he's in on this and how much he's being manipulated. The next day, the royal guard arrives at Reichnot's mansion, led by a man named Robier, who Raftalia recognizes as the man who enslaved and tortured her and her demi-human friends. And Melty goes with Robier, saying that, you know, she'll clear the Shield Hero's good name, but the others follow, you know, in an attempt to rescue her. And before the attack on Robier's place, now Fumi asks Raftalia, hey, are you ready for this? Are you ready to face this guy? And she's like, yeah, I'm ready to face my past. They sneak into the mansion while the demi-humans riot outside. Inside, Robier is torturing Reichnot for the info on the Shield Hero, but he's not giving up anything due to staying quiet. And just before he can turn on Melty, now Fumi and the others show up, and Raftalia finally gets to confront him. The last episode starts with a flashback to Raftali in her hometown, talking with another friend of hers, Rafina, a lot of R names, about how they both want to meet with the Shield Hero. You know, Rafina's got like a crush on him. But unfortunately, the wave starts just as they finish their talk and monsters just start raining down. Back in the present, Raftali has Robier at sword point and he's begging for mercy. And, you know, she does the classic hero move where, you know, I can't kill you. That'll make me just as bad as you. And, you know, turns her back on him. And of course, you know, he pulls the Frieza attack out, you know, classic bad guy fashion, goes for the attack when she has her back turned, but she's too quick, runs him through with the mana sword again, and he staggers back in shock and falls through through a window for a pretty long drop. After some healing and the group heads to Robier's dungeon where Raftalia has been held captive, we see more memories where she helped rally the town to rebuild itself after the wave was defeated, only for it to be attacked by Rabir's men, and all of them are taken as slaves. Raftalia and Rafina are cellmates, and even though Raftalia holds up to the rough treatment, Rafina gets sicker and sicker, and they, as they stay, they eventually, you know, Raftalia is sold off to another slaver where she meets Nafumi, but Rafina, unfortunately, is left behind. Back to the present, they find some prisoners still alive in the dungeon and start to set them free. Among them is one of Raftalia's other friends, a boy named Keel. He barely recognizes her, but, you know, as they do embrace and he tells her the bad news, Rafina didn't make it. You know, she Keel's runs down.
A boy?
Keel, yeah. I think, is a boy. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Definitely.
But she runs down to her old cell and finds her friend's bones still clutching the flag she had made for her. And she just breaks down, you know, feeling like a failure for not making it in time and not being able to save her friend. And now Fumi and Keel give her a pep talk, you know, how she saved their lives and, you know, remind her, you know, why they're continuing to fight. You know, they want to stop this from happening to anybody else. And it's enough to see her back on course. And she has a little like daydream sequence where she meets with Rafina again, who, you know, tells her to keep up the fight, rebuild the village where the demi-humans can be safe. And
how much time has passed since they've seen each other?
I don't think it's been that long because, you know, Raftalia has grown up quick, like, right. Because she's got strong, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like, why they say demi-humans are like monsters, because they don't grow up like normal people do.
Right.
I mean, the other thing you have to think about is, like, it's just the only amount of time that we're really missing is, like, between how long she was at the slaver and how long she's been with Nafumi. That's probably the exact amount of time. So I'd say, you know, maybe a year or two. Maybe.
If that. It's been, months, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been months.
Yeah, it's not that long.
But, you know, things seem good. You know, they leave, you know, they're about to head out with, you know, victory. But all of a sudden, a bunch of energy starts surging around this monolith in the middle of the mansion grounds. Rabir survived the fall and is using magic to break a seal that holds this powerful monster.
So much petty energy in the show.
And as the monster that looks like an armored T-Rex bursts through, he just crushes Rabir right away. So at least there's that. But that monster is roaring and ready for a fight. And that's where we left off on our episodes this week.
All right. Let's get into the questions. Good job. Thank you, Rob, as always. Appreciate it.
For sure. For sure. Amazing. Rob, I just want to say, God damn, man, you make that shit sound way better than what it was. So,
wow.
This is not the first time and definitely won't be the last. But God damn, Rob.
All right, man. So to the question portion, man. First question. So in the show, we see that the queen is actually the lead pretty much when it comes to royalty in a sense. If you were the king, would you have a problem with the queen running the show, Ice?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think I would. It just depends on who is my queen. I'm just going off of who I pick and what I like in the woman. I like a woman that has, quote unquote, queen attributes already. So I think that would be, I wouldn't have any issue with it, but I will have a word. Like if I disagree, I would make sure that she knows that I disagree. And
but she still has the final
stuff that we would come to a conclusion and on rules and laws for the land together. But if her say so was the final word, I wouldn't have any issue with it. No.
I agree. I feel like all my years of being a man, I need a break from leading. I need a break from leading at some fucking point, man. This is.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand how hard it is to lead in a relationship the whole time.
The whole time.
So. Yeah. So she was like, yeah, you know, I got it, baby. I'm like, oh, shit, cool. I just like the video games here and there. So I ain't paying for dinner again? Cool with me. You pay for dinner? You got all the food, right? I'll do it, queen. I got your back, boo. Rob?
I 100% agree. I would have zero problems with that. This feels very much like one of those questions like, would you be like a stay-at-home dad? And I 100% yeah, like no problem. Like not a problem at all. Like, you know, I'll find ways to keep busy. You know, I'll make sure the house is nice and, you know, kept in shape. No, but I would hope that it would be like a conversation. We could make some decisions together. But heavy lies the crown, man. That's a lot of pressure, you know. That's a lot. So, you know, if she can handle that pressure and she does a good job, I got no problem with that at all.
Yeah, I would have to see the pressure in that sense of like, if you can handle it. That's what it always comes down to. It's like, will you fold away? If I see that you can't control that situation correctly, I'm like, oh, I gotta step in.
Come in, yeah.
Brennan?
I don't think you get the option to come in if they're the king and you're like, you're the person. Like that, you're making it sound like, if I need to, I could step up. It's like, no, that's not how this works.
In that sense, you're right.
That's not how this works at all. But for me, I say I'm be on my Michelle Obama energy, bro. Like, ain't nobody taking anything away from her. It's like, Michelle is a boss. Michelle is one of the greatest political figures that we've ever had in this country, and she wasn't elected to anything. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for me, that's what I'm bringing to the table. Like, I'm going to give my best no matter what position I'm in. If I'm in the lead position, I'm the subordinate, whatever it is, I'm 100%. Giving 110 to make everything better for everybody. And I'm, like I said, hopefully I'm remembered like Michelle Obama, you know?
That's true.
So you wouldn't have a problem with it?
Nah. The thing is, like Rob says, heavy lies the crown, but it lies not only on the head of the king or the queen. It lies on the whole family. The whole family now has responsibilities. Everybody associated with you now has responsibilities. You know, it's like, it's not you getting elected. It's everyone associated closely with you. And so for me, it's just like that comes with responsibility, but it also comes with power. So you're saying, hey, Brennan, do you want access to like the most powerful person in the land that you actually love and work with and do all the main things happen? Like, yeah. Like, the answer is, yeah, but you're not the most powerful. It's like, yeah, but I'm pretty much number two. You know, like, what's somebody going to say to me? You know, like, we out here. So yeah, I might not.
I feel like Brennan would be a dick as number one or number two. It'd be like, or as
number two. I feel like Brennan would be the type of dude that play it low key. Like, he would just go to some random village that don't know who he is until shit go up, and then he'd be like, "Actually, little bitches, I am."
So
you know who I am?
I will get the queen on the phone.
Exactly. Like, you're gonna sit here. You're gonna sit here and keep taking these L's and Smash Bros.
Y'all quit that.
Yeah, I can see him like, all right, put it on speakerphone right now.
Yeah, hold on. I bet you she answered this. Hold on. No, I mean, honestly, yeah, that's funny. I mean, the thing is, I disagree with you a little bit, Keenan. Like, I like to be a dick in stupid moments, like when we just talk about anime and stuff. But like, when it comes to actual leadership or actual power, I like to think I'm not a dick. You know what I'm saying?
From what I've seen now, I feel like you, like I said, you come across and you come across honest. You give constructive and honest criticism.
Unless you're Rob, then I give you shit all the time.
Right.
Pretty
Rob, true. And, you would probably, as the historian of us four, what happens in those type of kingdoms and stuff, or queendoms, where the queen is the head, and if they have their family if he has all sons, who's next in line?
That's a good question. If you're talking like just regular succession, maybe somebody else in the family, like a sister or niece or something like that. Maybe like, because when you talk about like when I think of things that kind of come to mind is like, you know, some of the original Native American tribes, like in upstate New York, we had the Iroquois, and like they had chiefs and stuff. Like, you know, they had chiefs that called the shots, but you tracked your family like through your mother. And it was like it was a little bit like a matriarchal society. And like, there have been some, you know, some other like queens that, you know, ruled shit. And I think, you know, usually just same thing. Like, you just go through the family, like you go to the next girl, the next niece, woman. Daughter, niece. You know, cousin, somebody.
Mm. Okay. All right. So next question. When Glass showed up, she put a lot of people in their place, and I loved every piece of it. All right.
Yes.
So she humbled the whole squad. So when has there been a time when you got humbled, Rob?
I think maybe you guys aren't going to like this story because it involves somebody on this podcast, and I think it's going to inflate his ego a little bit.
But here we go.
I remember like I took a long time off from sports video games, and then I got like 2K17 and I was like, oh man, like I'm winning championships, I'm getting minutes, like, you know, I'm doing just like I'm doing my thing, like I think I'm getting, you know, pretty good at this. And then Brennan's just like, oh, you got 2K, like, let's play. And I was like, yeah, all right. Like, I'll show Brennan I'm better than he expects me to be. I think the lead was like at least 20 at halftime. And it was like, he was like, you want to finish this game? I'm like, I don't think I have to. I think I got to go. I don't even know if we finished that round. It was bad. It was real bad. And I don't think I've played competitive 2K since then. I just stick to my career and just have my little fantasy, you know.
Hilarious. This story reminds me of Keith. Because Keith was talking that shit too. And I think Brennan humbled Keith also.
I did.
Shout out to Keith, man.
You beat him because Keith was talking reckless.
Man, I've seen Brennan humble a lot of people in 2K. You know, very few people.
I'm literally playing 2K right now.
I thought you might be.
You know what? Since we're talking about like a RPG type of anime, like usually when people play games, their tree isn't that big, and this is the only time you're going to see me ever give Brendan any type of props. But like, usually if somebody's good at 2K, the next best game is Madden, and they stay within their field of Madden, 2K, sports games. You put them in like Super Smash Bros, they get washed. Same thing with Smash Bros people. Like, you put Smash Bros people in a game, they might can beat you in Dragon Ball Z Fighters or some type of fighting game, but you put them in a sports game, getting washed. I think Brendan's one of the only people that I know that's like, we'll wash mostly everybody in all these different genres of games.
I feel like nowadays, gaming, I mean, we want to get back to the question, but just to go to that, I think now gaming has gotten so big, I think that's different now. I think when I was growing up, it was that way. Like, I was a Madden NBA Live guy, and then when I got to other games, I was just like, I would kind of struggle in those games. But I think now, for gaming and Twitch and stuff like that, people play everything so heavily that you find people are strong across the board more and more now. Brennan.
I tried, Brennan. I'm sorry, Keenan.
Yeah, Keenan had to take it away from me, didn't he? Keenan's like, well, that's actually not special at all. Just so you know, like, that's the internet. Everybody does that. I don't know why Ice is impressed by any of the things that were just said. But Brennan ain't, that is not a real talent.
Oh, man.
Matter of fact, actually, let me name 15 people that are good at all the games you just named. They probably all watch Brennan too.
check the link in the comments.
All right.
I got to give you 15.
All right, Brennan, whenever you've been humbled.
I've been humbled quite, there's like, for me, it's like, I'm pausing and you guys are thinking like, Brennan can't think of the time he's been humbled, but it's like the opposite where it's just like a flood of memories of all the time I've been humbled. But one of them that stands out like really, really strongly, something I've actually mentioned before, was I just used to, when I was in college, I used to, be the manager of the rec center, and I used to go be there all the time. I used to be hooping and stuff. And we had a D1 basketball program. I went to Oakland University. It's out of Michigan. And they would make the big dance every other year, pretty much, while I was there. So I got to see them playing it twice. And the men's basketball team would practice in the gym that I would manage sometimes whenever our gym was being used by NBA teams, because we were across the street from the Pistons. And so NBA teams would use our practice gym. So they would come to the regular gym and practice. And I used to run with them. I wasn't like good, but I was good enough that they would let me run with them and like be one of the practice squad guys whenever they were in our gym. And I would do that. And I remember the point guard, I never played against the starting point guard. I always played against like the backup guy, and I knew him. And I was kind of, man, starting point guard, like, I was talking shit because I was having a really good game against everybody. I was talking so much shit, bro. He came in, he's like, oh, Brennan's talking today. It was one of those. And I was like, what? You ain't gonna do shit. You never play against me. You always scared. He was like, coach, let me in. Coach, let me in right now. And I tell you right now, when I found out how not quick I was, like how I could not determine the direction this man was gonna go on anything, when like I, you know what I'm saying, like I got put on the floor a couple times, like it was literally everything that could go wrong in how you're trying to guard somebody with the best of your ability went wrong in front of a crowd of my peers. It was rough. Oof. It was a rough experience. And he still every once in a while pops my DM and say, literally just text, never forget. That's it. And I'm just like, all right, I need to be humbled today. Thanks again for that. Yep, we're here for it.
Jonathan Jones was his name.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna piggyback on Brennan's story, because my story is similar in that sense. It's a basketball story also. It was at this gym called 360 Gym out here. And I saw Larry Drew. He used to play for the Tar Heels. I don't know. I think his dad was in the NBA. I don't know if he ever made it himself to the NBA. But he was, at the time, he was dating Eddie Murphy's daughter. And, you know, I was like, all right, she's beautiful or whatever. So, you know, we were down there playing 5-on-5. I was like, I'm about to destroy this dude. He's going to my favorite college, the Tar Heels, you know what I'm saying? And it was similar. I actually was playing against him on the court. And I was like, this dude is not as good as he's going to UNC. He's not as good as I thought he was going to be. Like, I feel like green on his face.
That's the
and he's
worst.
Like,
hey, oh, you told me this story defense. Before.
Yeah, I think I told you
yeah,
the story.
Yeah, this was like one of the questions a while ago.
Yeah, and then very similar. He humbled me, and I realized that this is why he's D1, and I didn't make it.
I'm never
very,
going
very
to make
quickly.
It. Never going
no,
to make
I,
it.
I realized there's certain angles, there's certain things that you learn, there's certain workouts on top of natural ability that you just. That just certain things. It's like he's doing NBA workouts probably in middle school. And nice. Then on top of that, he has natural ability because of his pops. And I was just like, okay, this is different. This is like a whole different ballgame. So
yeah,
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Can you imagine being that guy, though? But then it's like being that person and then going and playing against NBA people for real and just getting that exact same feeling.
Exactly. Yeah. That's probably a different way that it comes down to somebody like that. It's just like, all right, dog, this is a completely different level. This is why only the top couple hundred make it.
There's levels to this shit.
Yeah. I think that was one of my, like, when I got to Kansas State, that was one of the things that's kind of, that fucked me up is just something that we was in our freshman athlete orientation. He was like, hey, you know, you were the man of your city. You was the man of your city. You was a state champ. You was a state champ. But guess what? Like, you're in a room full of everybody was the man. So who gonna be the man amongst y'all now? Because it's right. Like, y'all was, you know, you was big shit, but, you know, a lot of y'all gonna fizzle. Y'all, a lot of y'all are gonna hang on to the time that you was a champion in your state because you're not gonna accomplish anything after that. And I was like, fuck. Like, but for me,
Ice, what did you accomplish after that on that track team? Were you the man?
I did. I was... Yeah, my teammate was a silver Olympic medalist. So
damn.
I mean, I wasn't doing that, but I placed in a lot of Pac-12 championships and stuff like that, and then Big 12. I did some things, but yeah, I think I did injuries, little Penny Hardaway action, Grand Hill action, kind of derailed him a little bit. But when I was active, I was worth all of the money that they gave me to run there at both schools. But yeah, I think one of my humbling moments came during that time is because I was jump, high jump, long jump, triple jump, stuff like that. And I always wanted to run the 100, the 200. Like, those are like events that I started out doing. But then I progressed and ended up being better at jumps. Mm-hmm. But it was something that I always wanted to get back to. And I used to talk shit, and I never forget, it was a girl from Texas. Her name was Kim Frazier. And I'm like, come on, like, I can run the 100. Like, let me run the 100. I'm good. Like, I can run at a D1 level. Like, I'm good. And they was like, bro, you can't even beat Kim in the 100. And I'm like, and at that time, you got to think, it's like, it's a lady, like, fuck out of here. Like, I can definitely beat a woman in the 100. They was like, bro, you
have ego going to come into play no matter what.
100%, yeah.
As a D1 athlete, I would assume so.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck out of here. I can beat Kim in the 100. And then, sure enough, like, she was like, if you can beat her in practice, like, we'll let you be on the B team, the relay team. And I'm like, okay, like, at this point, I'm 2 years removed from, like, any real type of sprinting. But I'm like, I can tap into it. Like, it ain't nothing. Like, I still got it. Boy, when we got out the blocks. shit. She was, I think, she was way too close for my liking. I just put it that way. I ended up beating her. But I think the fact that, like, I thought I was going to smoke her, and I didn't. Like, I passed, like, I beat her, and then, like, I humbled myself because I was getting hyped that I just beat her. Like, that made me come, like, one of my friends humbled me because I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. Like, I'm that dude. And they're like, fam, you just realized, like, you getting hyped off of beating her? And I was like, fuck, man, like, you're right. Like, I have no business running 100. I apologize, guys. I would never bring this up again. Let's just move forward. My life, I will go back into the jump pit, and I'm sorry. But she would always say that shit, like, you want to run again, Ice? You want to run again? Like, she would, like, the rest of the time together, like, Kim would give me shit because, like, I just couldn't believe that she was, like, that fast. And she ended up being pretty dope in the 100 as well. I don't know what she ended up doing, but she was pretty cold though.
Okay. So next question. What is the hardest boss you've ever fought in a video game? Because Glass put that work
Fuck.
In. Yeah. So what game have you played that puts you, like, you was just like, shit, I just can't, or it's taking you forever to beat it? Brennan.
The Water Temple. I don't even have to explain the game. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say that. The Water Temple. That's all I'm gonna say. I haven't played an RPG since. That stopped me from playing all RPG games. I no longer give a shit about playing a game by myself. I'm playing competitive games. That's a difference, Ice. You were talking about, you know, Brennan, he plays all the different genres. Like, no, he doesn't. Brennan don't play RPGs. Like, I don't go on adventures. I don't solve puzzles. I don't do none of that shit. I was broken by the Water Temple. And that's just what it is. I've never beaten that game.
That's what the game is called. What system is it on?
Oh, wow. You really don't know. Like, wait, hold on a second. I know Rob knows. Ice, do you know what I'm talking about?
Andrea's playing this game right now on her 3DS, maybe right as we speak.
I don't know. Unless it's Zelda, I don't know.
Okay, good save. It is The Legend of Zelda. Orchid of Time, N64.
I'm envisioning it, the water temple.
She breezed through that temple, but the Shadow Temple, that took her a bit. She just finished that this morning, actually. Water Temple's no joke.
No, I'm saying, like, when the Water Temple came out, like, that was it. Like, anybody who plays that game, the first thing they bring up is just like, yo, did you beat that Water Temple? And it's like, it's almost like a standard for, like, hard things to do in video games for the average gamer in RPGs. It's like it's almost like a rite of passage that I did not pass. I did not pass. I found I had zero patience for it and was just like, moving on, I'm going to be really good at other things. And that's what happened.
Mine would definitely be, if you really want to hear this story in its full glory, please ask my dad or my mom about this. But motherfucking Ripperoo on the first Crash Bandicoot on PlayStation. That gave 8, 9-year-old me, I can't remember how old I was, 7-year-old me, the fucking blues. Like, I couldn't beat him. I don't know if you guys know, like, Ripperoo, like, he had these TNT boxes and these nitro boxes, and he would just bounce around, and if he bounced on you, he was one of the bosses on Crash Bandicoot, and he fucking gave me the blues. Like, I went through, like, 2 controllers, breaking my controllers, and I couldn't for the life of me. It took me a long time. Like, my dad had to ask around his job to, like, he knew a couple people within his unit that's, like, in his squadron that played video games. And he was like, hey, my son is getting his fucking ass kicked by this guy. Like, have y'all played Crash Bandicoot? Can y'all please give me a – because he's giving me hell, and I'm about to kick his ass. And he – one of the guys that he was working with gave me, like, the rundown on how to beat him. And he came back and was like, hey – I remember his name. It was Kip. He was like, hey, Kip just gave me the rundown on how to beat Ripperoo. This is how you beat him. And if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't be able to beat him to this day.
Was it still hard after you got the rundown?
It was still very hard, but I remember to, like, because it was just all about timing. And then that was like, when certain bosses have certain patterns that they do. And it's like, if you get through these 4 patterns, then you can beat them. And it was like, fuck. But yeah, I did beat him. But that, he gave me the blues to this day. That's still one of the hardest bosses I've ever fought.
Brennan?
I already went.
Oh, sorry, Rob.
I mean, he probably got another boss ready to go. Shit.
Yeah.
King K. Rool. All right.
I was literally about to talk about King K. Rool, honestly, from the first DK country. That was a very... I actually just recently beat it on Switch again. But that boss fight, the first time you faced that, like... that really took me some time. And then, like, there's that false death too. Cause, like, you get him like Ice was saying, those patterns, like, you get the first 2 patterns and you beat him and he goes down. And, like, they give you the whole, like, they give you some credits and all that. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, I got this dude. 2 seconds later, the credits stop. That dude gets back up and just, like, immediately just, like, comes right back at you and gives you another round that you gotta, like, that's way harder. You gotta have, like, your skills ready to go. That one was a very difficult one for me.
If he dies, do they you have to replay the whole match, like credits rolling and everything?
They don't do the credits rolling the second time, but they send you right back to start.
Oh, okay.
They don't do the fake out the second time, but you gotta start from the beginning. Yeah, you gotta do the same. You gotta take it all the way through. There's no shortcuts or save points. So that was a tough one for me that, you know, I recently beat again. So that felt good.
And he has the cannon gun and all that shit. Because I've never played in any of the...
He didn't have the cannon gun in this one. I know he was really tough in DK Country 2 as well. But in that one, he throws the crown, you got to dodge the crown. Then he, like, jumps and, like, these cannonballs fall from the sky. And then he does this, like, crazy fast jump thing that you got to roll. You got to roll underneath that shit. Yeah, Brennan's doing that because he plays with cheap-ass King K. Rool on Smash Brothers. And that fucking crown sucks in that game, too.
For me, I guess I'll go pretty recent. I bought the Ultimate Alliance game for Switch. And right now, because I was going to say M. Bison, when you put it on Street Fighter on Super Hard, the hardest one, because he's just so fast. I'm like, just stall me out, let me breathe! Like... But on this Ultimate Alliance, I'm on, like, the Black Panther level. And I forgot what boss it is. I think I even hit Rob. I was like, man, how do you beat this guy at one point? I was like, Rob, did you have any trouble? Because he was like telling me, he's like, you must be close to the end of the game. I was like, if I am, I ain't going to ever beat it because I forgot who the fucking boss is.
Was it Claw? Because it's a dude that, like, I know there's like a bunch of, like, the sound shit, like, bounces around or something like that.
The sound guy I beat easy, but it's the person. Okay. It looks like some kind of like brain guy or whatever like that. I forgot what it is. It's like
MODOK. He's the MODOK, yeah, he's MODOK, the bad. Yeah. He's the bad guy in the new Avengers game too, man. He's not a joke in that either.
Bro, I'm sitting there. I can't. There's nothing I can do. I can't even get him down to half power, and so I haven't played Ultimate Alliance since.
He's like the float. he's like floating.
Yeah, a little bit. He'll come at you like real fast.
Yeah, that's my
man. Yeah, fucking bro. Ultimate Alliance has got a couple like glass level fights where there's no winning. Like you fight against like what's Thanos' team again? Like the Black Legion or whatever. Like they show up a couple times and you cannot beat them. Like the game is just like, no, you're about to lose this.
And I haven't played video games in as long, and I was just getting back into them. So I was just like, this is stupid. So I'll just go try to master Smash Brothers and play Mario Kart. So in this show, at one point I forgot the guy's name, but when they have him hemmed up, they actually have him snitch on the Shield Hero. I don't know if this question was ever asked before, but it might have been. But have you ever been? Hold on, my internet says it's unstable. Okay, it's bad. Have you ever had to snitch or wanted to snitch growing up? I have snitched before, but I was a child, so it shouldn't be held against me. But I snitched. Yeah. I think I snitched on my brother as a kid, and I remember my dad didn't whip my brother; he whipped my ass for snitching.
Said,
"If you ever," and maybe because my dad's from New York, and he's just like, you know, whatever. He's like, "If you tell, especially on your brother, like it's just like, I don't care what the situation is. This is your brother. You hold him to a different regard. You don't snitch like." It's different if somebody that does some shit, like if a teacher's like doing something, like touching you or something like that, you need to tell me. But when it comes to family, you don't snitch on family. And ever since that day I got my ass whooped, no matter what, I ain't said a goddamn thing. Rob?
I'm trying to think. I can't think.
Boy, I can't Rob, think. Solid.
I can't think of a specific time. I will say, and this is a longer story. I know my dad listens to this podcast and he's been like, oh, why haven't you told this story before? I won't get into the whole thing right now because it's a fucking thing. Long story short, my buddy and I, we were in like junior high school, like seventh or eighth grade or something like that. We were like up late making like prank phone calls, like while everybody was asleep, just like trying to be just stupid or whatever. And eventually the phone rings and it's one of the people we were calling us back. Just like, who the fuck is this? Who's calling me? Like, I'm about to call the police. You're about to give me your names. And we gave him the name of one of our classmates. It turns out like that they're like family friends. And they're just like, they're like, Sean, that's you calling me right now? And we were just like, yeah, this is Sean. Like, sorry. Like, oh my God. Like, please don't tell my mom. Like, she's like, I'm going to be at your house tomorrow. I'm going to have a conversation with your mom. And like, we just hung up and went to bed and like, just let that shit blow over. And my buddy had gym class with that guy on Monday. He's just like, hey man, Sean, how's your week? And he's like, man, like some bullshit happened. Like so-and-so's mom came over and started yelling at me about some shit I didn't even do. Like, so that's like the one time we just threw the heat on somebody else. But I can't think of a time that like,
that's
we got away with that. I remember I told my parents that story. It's a thing. I'll tell you guys the whole story off air. But that's one time that, you know, we threw somebody else under the bus. I'll say that much.
Brennan?
You know, I was always the one who got snitched on, to be honest, because I was always the one causing trouble. So I can't really think of like an exact story of when I snitched on somebody. No, wait, I got one. So when I was in fifth grade, I was talking shit to this kid.
That was like quick.
Fifth or sixth grader. I know, right? Fifth or sixth grader. Yeah. And he was talking shit and I was talking shit and he was way bigger than me. And he was just like, all right, I'm gonna fuck you up. And I started running and he caught me. And I was like, fuck. And I was like, about to get my ass whooped. And the teacher ran up. I was like, what happened? I was like, he's about to hit me. He was attacking me. I'm so scared. Help. And she was like, what? How could this happen? And he looked at me. He's like, you little bitch. And I was just like, have fun in detention pretty much. Because you were attacking me while she pulled up. So, you know, Yeah,
I did. He never caught you slipping after that?
No, he left me alone after that. You know how to tell. I guess. I don't know. He didn't know how to tell.
I can't fuck with you. You be telling.
Yeah. I feel like Brandon was standing there. I feel like Brandon was sitting next to the teacher every time he saw him. Like, yeah, go ahead and do it. Try something.
I'm right here, bro.
What's right up? Here, yeah. Ice.
This is a lot darker. I used to inadvertently snitch on my dad without thinking about it. Like, I'd be like, yeah, mom, this random lady was at the house. And my mom be like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And I'd just be
yeah,
it's like, I was just, you know, she's like, at first I thought it was you, but then I'm like, wait, no, mom wouldn't be over here. Like, she would have said what's up to me. Cause I remember one time I said, I'm like, damn, mom. I was like, mom, you just came over and you didn't say what's up. Like, you walked right past my room. And then my mom was like, what the fuck? I ain't been at your... Oh, she's like, no, tell me more about. And then I'm fucking letting go. Just
you don't know.
So then it sounded like you were fighting dad in the room. I was like, well,
exactly. I was spilling all the beans, and then it became a weekly thing. Like, hey, I need, next time you see this lady, she like giving me like, I need you to go get a drink of water. And I'm like, all right, fucking go get a drink of water. Come back, tell my mom. I'm like, yeah. So definitely not you.
definitely not you.
And then just, yeah.
Oh, man.
Hilarious, bro. That's freaking hilarious. I think we asked this question before, too. When we did Vinland Saga, but it was, what's the furthest distance you ever had to travel on either foot or bike?
We did.
Or something similar maybe to it, but maybe not exact, but...
this is pretty on character with me, but both the bike and the foot involved the lady. The furthest that I've walked. Oh, you're right, because I remember telling it. So it's two different. The furthest I ever walked, and y'all don't have to tell both. I'm just telling both because they're short. Furthest I ever walked, went to a party that was super far out, like at least 20 miles away from my house. Cops busted the party. Out of fear, the people who drove us, they just left without us, and we had to walk home. Furthest I ever rode a bike was a little over 30. I rode a bike from St. Louis to Illinois. And that was a good 50 miles, I would say. No, a good 50 miles. Just because nobody, it was a covert mission that I didn't feel comfortable including anybody on. So I just went and did it myself on my sister's bike.
So it wasn't like
pink ass bike.
Not even the right size then, man.
Not even the right size.
It wasn't even a mountain bike. I literally was riding the bike on the highway.
Oof. That's one thing I was always been like afraid to do is walk on a highway and ride my bike on the highway. Fuck that.
Stupid.
Rob? Man, I don't have anything as exciting as all that.
I always don't want to go out to ice.
You said what?
I said I never want to go out to ice because his stories just be like, yeah, and then I tackled a whale in the water. It's like, damn, bro.
Damn.
I can't swim, so that ain't never going to happen.
I think just the farthest I ever walked, like probably this was like a couple years ago for my birthday. My lady and I went to San Francisco and we just like, we didn't have a car. We didn't like, we parked the car at the hotel, but like, other than that, we just fucking walked the city all day. I think that's the one time, like, anybody who wears an Apple Watch, you know, you get like awards for like closing 200%. Yeah, yeah. That was like the one time, like, I got to like 300% like move goal that day. Cause we just fucking walked everywhere. We walked all over where we were staying. It was a good time. Good time walking around. Then we did a similar thing in Boston, I think, like a year later. So, you know, when I go see like a new city, I just like walking around. That's probably the most I've ever walked. Get a few miles under my belt there. Maybe the first time I've ever gone from like one place to another. I remember I was visiting a buddy of mine. He was going to U of R, University of Rochester in upstate. And we walked to a frat party that was off campus because the frat, like, apparently threw such crazy parties, they weren't allowed to be on campus anymore. So we walked to that one. And that was pretty far.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. We had a good time. Yeah, and then we walked back from that. That's it for me.
For me, it's not that exciting. It was actually miserable for me. I had to walk from my job because out in the valley, out here in like L.A. or whatever, the bus system is trash. It just doesn't run late.
Garbage.
The buses stopped running sometimes. I don't know about now, but when I was in high school to college, it'll stop running at around 7 p.m. sometimes. And I had to work a late shift, and nobody could take me home for my job. So I had to walk from Winneka to North Hills. I don't know the mileage, but it's not close walking. It's about maybe 15-minute drive. But like,
damn.
So walking, it was just brutal. And then it was late at night. That was closing. So it was super late at night. I had my headphones on. And for me, I'm naturally somewhat... I guess when you're a black person, you're naturally kind of paranoid. So I would keep looking back every few seconds or minutes to make sure somebody's going to come and jump me. So I feel like that made the walk even longer. I tried to run some of it. I was like, all right, let me run some of this real quick, take off some of the time. It was terrible.
That shit long when you're trying to think of ways to make it shorter. Like,
yeah, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to hitch a ride. I tried to hit. I think I put my thumb up for like a few minutes to see if somebody hitched me a ride. I was just like, this shit ain't worth it. Because I was like, what am I get killed? If I get killed or raped, I'm out of here, bro. Nah. So I just made that walk, and it was brutal. And ever since then, I would either beg somebody for, man, I'll give you $20 for gas, what you need?
Yeah. I got these cheeseburgers.
Come on, man. Bernie.
I'm trying to look it up right now. I just realized I had a story, but I thought of a better one. So I'm like, I want to see the distances. I used to ride my bike to work every day from Koreatown, L.A. to North Hills, California. And I don't remember.
Oh, bro, that's not close.
No, it's not.
It's Koreatown. Yeah.
No, it is not.
No, I remember it used to take me like 2 hours.
So disgusting.
It was like 2.5 hours, I think, every day. So I would be
to ride your bike?
Yeah, it was like I think I had to be at work at 10 o'clock or 10:30. So I leave my house around 8.
Did your job have showers?
No.
God, Jesus Christ.
Wait, so when you was doing this, I'm guessing. Oh yeah, when you moved out here,
I would bring a change. I would bring a change of clothes. Yeah, 2 hours. It took 2 hours. That's exactly.
Oh shit.
So I would just get to work and then go in the bathroom.
How many miles was that?
It's what did it say? 20 miles each way.
Oof, bro.
Yeah, so I was doing that for a while. I would do it at least. I had a car, but I hated my job so much, and I was getting fat from working there, that I was like, I got to do something. And so I started riding my bike to work like 2 or 3 days a week, and then at some point it just became every day. And I was just like, I could just do this every day now. And it just didn't even matter anymore, because I would be on phone calls and shit. I would just put on like, I'll put on one, because back then AirPods weren't out yet. So I just have like one string coming down and like have the microphone right here, and I would just be talking to people or just listening to music. But I always kept my left ear on the traffic side open. Because you know, that's how you get killed. The route was relatively safe. Because if you ever want to ride your bike in LA, the best way to do it is use Google Maps and put on the sound, because it'll walk you through every single. It'll walk you through.
Not having it.
I would never ride a bike in LA traffic.
Google Maps also takes you straight to all the bike paths. So there's like a lot of streets actually have like bike paths that are separate, or even just on a full bike path. Because I remember part of my ride was just like a couple miles of it was just literally on an empty bike path.
That's nice.
Yeah, so it wasn't that bad of a ride, because it keeps you away from high traffic and all that. So I had a couple close calls for sure, but in general it was fine.
More bikers should take that advice, man.
The more thing about LA is that for it to be one of the biggest geo cities in the world, the public transportation system is garbage.
Man, y'all be saying that. I think I wouldn't call it garbage, because I'm from Detroit. Or I'm from Michigan and Flint.
Garbage.
It's like, I don't think the public transportation here is as good as New York or Boston or London or something like that. But when you go from a place like where I'm from, where there really isn't public transportation, like they say there's a bus system, but the bus may or may not come. Here, the bus is going to come. It might be here 10, 15 minutes late. The bus is going to come. It's going to take you where it said it's going to go. There is an underground railroad system that you can actually use to be able to get to wherever you need to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can actually get wherever you need to get on public transportation. LA. Yeah. It just takes time. Yeah, it takes time.
That's garbage.
In Detroit?
For LA.
In Detroit?
LA.
Bruh. Like, oh there'd be,
well,
like,
you I just. Feel like, I was going to say, I feel like LA City has better But like, if you're talking about the like just some of like if you can talk about the Valley, if you're like in like the
LA.
Yeah. LA is also like the biggest city. Like it's like huge. There's no city even close to the size of LA. In the United States, at least. Physically, land mass size, it's not even close.
Just geographically.
Not even close. Not even close to how big LA is.
But still, it's like, you can, if somebody in New York, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, like, if I'm in New York and I'm like, hey, I want to go to Jersey. I want to go to Philly. Like, I can get there. I don't have to, like, do any of these crazy jumps and all this bullshit to get to either way, either direction, either Jersey or to Philly. In L.A., if I want to go to fucking Valencia, it's going, it's
not happening, bro. Not happening.
And if I want to go to Valencia, where it's not even, it's in the same state, in the same area, it's a fucking joke.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just the size of LA, because geographically, like, is the size of the city, like, on a map, like, I'm pretty sure LA is the biggest in the United States. But, you know, population-wise, you know, number the two. East Coast is,
population-wise, New York LA is number two, second biggest city. But like you're saying, population-wise in the cities, though, and how many cities, major cities there are, it's like, yeah, East Coast is huge.
Yeah.
This is actually probably my favorite question that somebody wrote.
I really like this question I came up with, guys. Right?
Yeah, loved it.
Could have been anybody.
In a matchup fantasy game of animes, which team would you have win in a head to head fight? Nafumi's team from Shield Hero or the main party from Goblin Slayer?
Oh, that's easy.
I'm taking Naofumi's team. I think, you know, even I think like maybe those new guys he just picked up, like they're probably going down. But I think the main three, like the core three between Naofumi, Philo, and Raftalia, I think they're taking the Goblin Slayer teams out. Like, I mean, that dwarf dude, like, he's going to throw a couple magical rocks around. Like, you know, the archers, like, you know, she's accurate, but, like, nothing that Naofumi can't handle with, like, a shield or something. I'm taking Naofumi, personally. I'm taking the Shield Hero team.
Yeah, me too. I think Philo can whoop everybody's ass on Goblin Slayer's team, to be honest. I think she can handle it.
By herself. And then
By herself. He might have to play some slight defense, but... That's really it. I don't even think I forgot the other girl's name, Raptalia. I don't even think she has to even get involved. That's how
maybe not.
Because we know the Demon Slayer. We know the Demon Slayer and Goblin Slayer himself is gonna be like, he's gonna take that one hit from Fila.
Potions. Give me a potion.
Potions, please.
Fucking Naofumi's gonna give him one out of pity.
To this day, that's still one of my favorite moments of this podcast. And when Keenan went in on a Goblin Slayer getting smoked out, I fucking lose it. Every time I just go back and watch that clip and it's just like, bruh, the potions, I need help me.
He got destroyed, bro. And I think this happens. I think Philo kicks him like dead in the solar plexus and he's going to sit there and he's like, oh, somebody.
Get this man a potion. Hilarious.
Honestly, it comes down to how much time the Goblin Slayer has, and if and does he know who he's fighting? If the Goblin Slayer has time, he's winning that fight. If he or if at the very least it's going to be a stalemate. But if he does have that Batman quality,
what if Naofumi knows too though? What if they both have the same information about each other? Naofumi ain't no bat, but ain't no hoe, and he's not somebody to get outsmarted either.
But he hasn't proved that he's meticulous as the Goblin Slayer. If they're just walking up on each other and they don't know each other and it's just like a Pokemon thing, like you
Goblin know Slayer. Goblin Slayer is gonna be like, let's throw fire on these guys. Let's throw some fire on these guys. What happened? Naofumi's gonna be Iron Maiden, bitch. Iron Maiden is the whole squad.
If they walk up on each other and some head to head shit, Goblin Slayer's getting washed by, like you said, by just Philo by itself. By herself. But if Goblin Slayer has time to prepare and he knows they coming, I don't know. Goblin Slayer can put some shit together. He see what he might have got smoked out by that orc or ogre, but he had that shit in right after that. Scroll. The next scene was that scroll of him getting that tidal wave. So it's like, if he got stuff to prepare, he going to have something for Philo's ass. He going to have some old slave memory.
Obviously, Goblin Rape has altered the ISIS perspective of what's really possible. The powers they have in that show, there's nothing that we saw from any of his crew in that show that can harm anybody from that. This show. Like, there's nothing we've seen that can even harm them.
I'm not debating that. I'm saying Goblin Slayer's preparation skills. Raptalia
would roll up to their whole squad by herself, turn invisible, and just shink, shink, shink.
I'm not denying any of that. I'm talking about Goblin Slayer's preparation skills are unmatched. And if he has time and preparation, and he knows what he's up against, at the very least, it'll be a stalemate. At the very least.
He does usually have an ace up his sleeve. That pressurized water scroll came through in the clutch in that fight.
Oh, that's the go-to?
That's the go-to, man.
You think that's going to hurt Philo?
Even at the end, how do
you cut that ogre in half, man? It cut that ogre in half. He might be able to take one or two down. I'm just saying.
And even at the end of Goblin Slayer, you remember, he had that whole shit planned out when they was using, the goblins came through using them as meat shields. He like, fam, we got it. Don't worry about it. We knew this what they was going to do. So he, like I said, if he got some time, I don't know.
All right, Brennan.
I mean, obviously Goblin, no, fuck no, dude. Obviously. I already said everything I'm going to say. I pass because y'all know, like, it ain't no competition here. There's no competition. I don't care how much prep this motherfucker gets. He might be able to take out one of the team members. He can't take out everybody. They're too good. They're too strong. And the Nafumi's defense is just too much.
Okay.
The Iron Maiden. Yeah.
All right, y'all. Have you ever seen a more naive or idiotic bunch of characters in all anime that we've watched on the podcast in this anime? Because these guys are so naive to I forgot her name. I don't even want to know her name, but the queen or whatever she is.
Me.
These guys are such idiots. She's just telling them, they're not even questioning shit. For the sword hero kind of is at times, but everybody else,
Are you making being naive synonymous with being stupid? Because that, I think that changes the question a little bit. Because I know Rob is gonna have a field day if you making it synonymous with being stupid.
No, man, no.
I feel like both naive or stupid. And the anime that we've watched on this podcast in particular.
Oh yeah.
There's been stupid people. There's been stupid people in Parasite. There's been stupid people in, you know, other anime that we've watched, but I feel like these guys are some of the dumbest and slowest to pick up on shit than anybody. She's been proven wrong so many times about why she's doing things or her morals and ethics, and they're still riding with her, and it makes no fucking sense. I personally think, because she mentioned something about like kind of like a potion or whatever that can kind of take over your mind or whatever, or manipulate your mind, brainwash thing. I think she might have that. If there is such a thing, she might be the one that might have that.
On other people,
right? Okay. So I don't think there's a bunch that we've watched in this podcast that's more pretty much idiotic than these guys.
The other three heroes, you mean?
Yes, the other three heroes, because these guys are just like. They're just dumb, especially the spear hero. But it's just like, even that arrow guy's kind of like, bro, you're not even questioning so far, nothing. So, I don't know. Brendan?
I zoned out. I'm sorry. Help.
He's drowning.
Sorry. He's drowning.
I opened my text messages. That was a bad choice. That was a bad choice.
All right. Well, I'll bail Brendan out. Maybe he can put it together through some context clues. No, I see what you're saying. And definitely the spear hero is up there. Like, definitely very, like, he's got to be under, like, some kind of mind control. Or otherwise, he's dumb as a box of rocks to still be hanging out with Miney after everything he's seen, to be proved wrong literally every single time he opens his mouth and still just be like, no, this girl's the one that, like, she's got my back. I'm going to listen to her. The bow hero is getting there, too, because, now Fumi at this point has shown him, like, dude, clearly... You don't know what the fuck you're doing. Clearly, you're causing problems wherever the fuck you go. And he's got the receipts for it. And you're right. Like, the sword hero is the only one that's, like, kind of putting it together. Mm. That being said, I still don't know that I can say I've seen anything dumber or more naive than when that girl in Parasite confronted the other parasite and was like, nah, that cute boy can't possibly be the monster, even though she saw him transform his face. Her brother's like, we know two things about these things. They transform their faces and they eat people.
She saw
and she wants to give him a chance. I can't. I can't, dude. I don't know. I can't.
Like, no.
Nothing will beat that for me. That's the dumbest thing. At least she had, like, you know, she had the weapon on hand. She had the paint thinner or whatever. But even that was just, like, circumstantial. Did she even have that, like, planned out, or did she just, I forget.
She planned it. She planned it.
That's why I can't give it to her. No. So I got to give it to them because they
She's
know.
Like, I'm about to do the dumbest thing of all time. I might as well have some form of weapon with me. And out of all the weapons you can have, in general, there's no reason that paint thinner should have worked. Just want to put that out there.
There's no guarantees. At least, like, it's bad evidence, and clearly, like, she's been true. Like, she's not trustworthy. She's proven before she cheats. But at least there's some evidence that these guys have seen this viral video of just like, oh shit, you know, like, I guess we got to at least, like, show up and ask him some questions, you know? Like, I can see them at least being like, all right, like, let's see what this is about. But I mean, I don't know. You're not wrong. They're pretty thick. But she's the worst.
No, it's Brennan's turn. What's up, Brennan? What you got, Brennan?
Oh, dude, like that. Like, I agree with Rob. The parasite chick is the dumbest human being ever.
What's the question, Brennan?
What I take from that is that the people on this show, like the stupid other heroes, are they dumb? The dumbest people in anime history, or like, that we've seen in our show. That's pretty much. And it's like, if so, then if not, then who? Yeah, that we've watched. Am I right?
Pretty good process of elimination.
Yeah, cool. Fuck you, Ice. In answering that question, I'd say that no, they're not even by a long shot. They are pretty fucking dumb. Nah, man, there's like, I forget, what's the other? There's one other instance where we were just all just like, what is this?
The detective in the garage.
Yep, the detective. Hell no. Him
in the garage. That was dumb as fuck.
Yeah, that doesn't compare to that. Like, these guys are pretty thick.
Even fucking Kato on Baki, like, followed that dude down into his fucking lair and was like, hey man, I'm about to beat your ass. And he's like, I don't think so.
Fucking Ray from Death Note, Ray Pember, he was fucking stupid.
Yep.
He was pretty fucking naive.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these guys, I don't, like, they're dumb, especially the spear hero, but I feel like their ego is bigger than their brain. In the sense of like, they're here for their ego. They're like, I'm the hero and I'm being treated as the hero, so I am the shit. And anything that smells of anything but this is bad. And everybody keeps pointing at you and saying you're bad, but you keep telling me I'm good. You know what? You are bad. This is the path of least resistance. And, you know, obviously the sword guy is kind of just like, I don't know about this anymore. The bow guy's like, I'm not sure. And the spear guy is just like, this pussy though.
He's fucking done, man.
Yeah, he's just like, yo, like, y'all can say whatever you want, but when we get behind closed doors, I trust y'all.
Throwing it bite.
Like, he's over here on that Bill Withers. Like, now, brother, if you only knew, you wished that you were in my shoes. Just keep on using me. But yeah,
keep on using
until you use me up. But like, that's who he is right now. That's exactly who he is. And so do I think they're the dumbest? Do I think they're dumb? 100% yes. Are they the dumbest, you know, that we've seen? Like, they don't crack the top five for me, but they probably crack the top 10.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say that they're not, for the reasons both Rob and Brennan stated. But I think what keeps them from being naive and stupid is the emotion. They're on an emotional ride right now. And a lot of this stuff is very in front of them. And they're like going as it goes on. All the people that we mentioned that were stupider, they had time. They had time to make a different decision and, you know, and recollect. And through all the time that they had to prepare and go into, you know, these dumb situations, they just chose to go into these situations. Like, none of those guys were caught off guard and was like, oh, shit, I should do this. Like, all of them had time. And then that's the decision that they made. Like, Kato made that decision. The girl made that decision. The detective made that decision. Pember made that decision to do all these dumbass things. These guys, they're ever since they got caught up with that sexual assault stuff on Nafumi, they've just been riding that. And it's just been like, they haven't had any chance to really sit back and be like, wait, like, this shit is fucked up. And, you know, we would as you know, common sense human beings, but people like them, if you mix that with like what Brennan said with the ego shit, It's way past stupid.
Okay. All right, last question. Would you be cool using the Raid Shield power, seeing what it cost at Fumi? Brennan.
I would have real apprehensions, man. I'm a fan of experimentation. I'm going to leave your imaginations to whatever I meant by that. But when it comes to
crack cocaine,
when it comes to losing my sense of self or like my sense of control over me, I don't enjoy that. That's never been something that I go for. That's never been something that I really like. And obviously this brother has control, like loses control over who he hurts and who he doesn't when he gets into that rage shield in a way that isn't healthy for the people he actually cares about. And so, yes, it does grant him a massive power, but it always has a cost. And so for me, like in crafting this question, I'm like, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is really what I'm saying here. It's like, is it? It's like, would I use it? Like would I have used it in all the instances that he did? No, I wouldn't have. Not on purpose, at least. The only time that I would have used it for sure thus far is when that woman showed up and took everybody out with a swing of her little things. You're like, bloop. And everybody died. I'm like, oh, well, shit. Like, whatever it takes, y'all. Like I don't want to be like them. You know, but it's like to be able to defeat that trans-dimensional monster. It's like, it was just going to take time. And yeah, some villagers might have like died or whatever, but it's like, I could protect a lot more villages as a sane human being with the powers that I have than going into a rage monster I might not be to come out of, you know, and that people would, that'd be more powerful than any of the things that any of y'all have seen, more powerful than these waves. I could become that, which would be a worse death than what was happening to these people now anyway. So I would have been like, yo, let's just do everything we can, 110, kill this trans-dimensional monster as quickly as we can. Everybody pile on this motherfucker. You know, that's what it would have been. But like, just doing that, just like, yo, I wake up and like I hurt my team. You know, it's like, yeah, you got the bad guy, but your team is like messed up and cursed and stuff. I'd be like, nah, fam, nah.
Yeah, I get it, Brennan. It's all about the situation that we're in. If it's a situation like, all right, this is either death or do this, then I'm doing it. But other than that, I'm like, all right, but it's gonna take some time. We'll just beat the pavement, take our time. You know, you're better alive than dead, or you're better alive sane, anyways. So, hey, I'm with Brennan. Rob?
Yeah, I actually almost had a similar question where I was gonna ask, like, do you think, you know, using your anger in something, you know, is you think that gives you an edge in something, you know what I mean? And honestly, my answer was going to be, I don't think it does. I think it can cloud your judgment. I think it can get you to act reckless. And I think obviously that we've seen that come into play here. I don't know that I necessarily, I mean, you know, when he first, like, you know, was losing control in the first place, like, you know, in the first duel with the spear guy, when he fought the dragon and he thought all his team was going to die anyway, like, I can't really fault him for using it because he unlocked it because he thought he fucking lost everything. Right. You know, yeah. I can't fault him for that. But I'm in total agreement that during that fight, when he saw that, you know, Philo and Raftalia were just going to chip away, I don't think there's any reason to break that out at that point. But yeah, you know, if your back's against the wall and like it's death or this, it's not my first choice, but if it's all I got, I'll go there, you know. If it's that or death, you know, you got to go with it, you know.
All right.
If Raftalia is with me, I'm running that shit every time. If she's with me, I'm running every time because I know she can take me out of it, which she has done.
You think she can take you out occasions. Of it?
She's taking him out of it,
and she gets hurt when she does it though.
The last time he did it against the Soul Eater thing, she didn't get hurt. She was just like, "Fam, chill out." And he's like, "All right, cool."
Sun's getting like, real low, big guy. Like some
she did some Black Widow Hulk shit. So it's like. So as long as I got her, I'm running every time. But I will start. I'm like, okay, I can't keep doing this shit. Like, let me learn a skill that's equivalent or stronger than this that's not going to take my soul. Or let me master this so I cannot, you know, go berserk. But if it's that to the level of magnitude that y'all saying, yeah, I'm running it every time just because, you know, she's right there with me. And also, too, in that situation, like, let him chip away. But if you let him chip away, Grand dies, that village is fucked up. People are getting hurt, and these are the only people that were riding for him. It'd be different. But I think when you bring the emotion into it, like this village of loot, like these villages that you've been helping, these are the only people that are singing your good graces. While the rest of the country is saying you ain't shit, like I'm gonna go hard for them and make sure that they're good.
Okay. Actually, that's a pretty good answer. Yeah. All right. So Now, what was your favorite part of the show, your worst part of the show, and your ratings? I'll go first real quick. For me, my favorite part of the show was Glass showing up. I thought she finally turned this up. We finally get an actual villain. So I feel like there hasn't been an actual villain that we can latch onto or an antagonist that we can latch onto besides an old girl that we... I don't really care. I don't see her as a villain. She's a pest at this point to me. Yeah. Another favorite part was when the guy got crushed at the end when he summoned the dragon. That was just hilarious to me. I laughed. I was like, I actually rewinded. I was like, yes! Because it was just so funny. Because honestly, I'm trying to grab on something to make me want to even keep watching this as much because, like, for me, the worst part of this show is definitely the girl that just that keeps accusing him. At this point, it's annoying. It's like, when she comes on screen, I go, ah! Like, every time she just jumps on screen.
Either her or Bakugo.
I'd rather have, because Bakugo gets the shit in, at least. He leads fights. I feel like he's intellectual in his fighting skill, and he's pushing Deku to, he's pushing Deku, I guess, to want to get stronger, and they're both pushing each other. So, I could deal with his annoyance as a rage-holic, but her, she's just so annoying. For me, the show, the only thing keeping me kind of even wanting to watch the show, and I'm surprised I even haven't go look at the spoilers yet, is why are they going so hard on the Shield Hero? Like, what's the reasoning? And I know it's coming at some point, but that's the only reason why I'm even somewhat interested in this show. Not the Shield Hero himself, because he's still a dickhead too, but it's like, why did they pick the Shield Hero specifically to do this? And I hope there's a reward for it, because if it's not a big reason why, something small, I'm gonna be like, this shit was not worth it at all. This shit was just not worth it. So my score stays at a 5,000. Doesn't move. Ice.
Based on all of the stuff, especially my time with other animes and stuff that I've spoken about, this is just a box checking anime, and all of this, like I said, all of the arguments that I've made for other animes why I don't like them, they all fall in line with this show. Box checking characters I don't care about, a world that I really don't give a fuck about, but for some odd reason, I like this. Like, I just, like, I don't know why it's, and I don't know why. I can't really explain it. I can't put my finger on it. This isn't even the type of anime that I like. I don't really give a fuck about the characters, but it's like,
Can anybody say plot twist? I did not see you coming through with that. Wow. I'm sorry. Please continue. Holy shit. No. I didn't see that coming.
But I don't know. It's just something about it. It's like, I want to keep watching. And anytime that I'm off my rocker, not off my rocker, but I'm like, oh, I'm done with this dumb shit. Like, they do something to pull me back in. And really, that was the episode 15 when they went into our story. Granted, I didn't really give a fuck. But when the T-Rex, armored T-Rex came, fucking Megatron from Beast Wars came, I was like, damn, like, okay, like, let's see where this goes. And I also want to see what's going on with the queen. And I like the shadows people, like, I like them too. So I'm not head over heels for it, but I like it more than I should. 6,000.
Okay. Rob?
Starting out with favorite and least favorite moments. Oh.
Well, yeah, least favorite moment.
No, go ahead.
I didn't like when they, unless they bring this shit back, I didn't like when they did the stuff with the feathers and everybody falling asleep and they had her naked inside of her and shit. I thought that was weird. And I just don't, like, they better use her feathers for something in the future.
I agree.
And then favorite moment, Iron Maiden, by far, dopest part of that stretch of episodes.
Okay. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was going to say my least favorite moment is kind of something we didn't see. I was kind of disappointed we didn't get to see more of those other people that joined his party to see, like, I was kind of disappointed we fast forwarded through that. And I thought the second wave was a good opportunity to ratchet up the stakes a little bit more. Like, maybe some of those guys go down, or, you know, obviously I don't think they're going to kill off the main three anytime soon, if ever. But I thought that might have been some time to be like, oh shit, like, we got some other people, you know, but, like, to show you, you know, because Brennan set it up, like, you know, you're going to see, like, this next wave is real. And I mean, for sure, like, Glass was a big deal. And, like, you know, classic JRPG, RPG, video game type thing. They flash you the final boss when you're not ready for that shit, and they show you like just how fucking weak you are right now. So my least favorite part is kind of not seeing some more of those characters that they brought back in come in, and hopefully we will continue to. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more drama, and it'll feel a little bit less safe. But my favorite part was actually when he met up with the king and he turned him. They were about to like go in on Naofumi, like they surrounded him and everything. He's like, "Are you really about to attack me, the guy that just fucking beat that boss on the wave? Because I will kill everybody in this room right now. Fuck you, king. You can beg for it. And if you touch anybody's like a hair on anybody's head, I will kill you. And I don't doubt him for a second. I think he will do it. I think he has the ability to do it. And I'm glad that he finally told that guy to fuck off. That felt great. That was probably my favorite moment.
That was like some offense.
Yeah. To kind of comment on that, I kind of agree with Ice, maybe because I haven't seen as many shows as you guys. It doesn't necessarily feel like a box checking thing. I am enjoying seeing the payoffs coming up from the setup. I do feel like they do that well, even, having that old lady show up, that's another moment where you got to see something come back. I enjoy that aspect. I'm enjoying the show.
I wanted to see her do some more work, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I hope she joins the party, too, because she reminds me of a character from another show I watched, an old lady that's like got the hands. But I'm enjoying the show. I would say this stretch of five episodes was much better than the last five. I feel like we are starting to see some big picture stuff, which is good. My out there prediction is that the king is like the last shield hero or something like that, because there was even some hints that she was just like, it's so weird. Like Melty's just like, oh, I don't understand why you two don't get along. And like, she never quite got to complete the thought. And the fact that he married into the royalty makes me think he's somebody. And I think that's going to come back up. I wouldn't be shocked if he was like the previous shield hero or some other shit. I don't know. That's my out there prediction. But I'm enjoying the show. I'm enjoying watching it. I think last week I gave it a 58. I'll bring it up this week. I'll bring it to a 63.
Brennan, you want to spoil that for us and let us know if that's true or not?
No, we all know I'm not spoiling anything.
Go ahead, Brennan.
Well, I really like the show, as I've told you guys before. I think it's really interesting, especially to hear your take on it, Keenan, because every moment that Ice and Rob mentioned as their favorite moments, you were just shaking your head, yeah, because there's so many moments that you liked. You liked the moment when the old woman was giving the hand.
They were
you
cool.
Liked the moment, you liked the moment. Hold on. I let you trash the show. I didn't say a word. So just chill. You liked it when the T-Rex motherfucking stomped the guy. You liked it when you liked it when Naofumi pulled off the Iron Maiden. You liked it when Glass pulled up and fucked everybody up. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's like all these moments that you're like, in every episode, there's some kind of payoff that you like that always comes back from something that happened before. I'm a fan of that. And one thing that we didn't even mention that I like about this show that I've been waiting for somebody to mention, nobody did, was the playoff of slavery. Demi humans as slaves. They're playing off of the American slave system almost verbatim in these episodes. Like, every single thing that happened to Raptalia is exactly what the American slave trade was like. You know what I'm saying? Or the transcontinental slave trade was like. She went through all of the stages of it. It ended up being sold. You know what I'm saying? Like, she went through all that stuff and had to, you know, she is like, the Demi humans were set up in these five episodes as black people. Like, that's exactly what happened. They had their own free town. They got killed by the state. You know what I'm saying? Like, this whole show is doing the X-Men and giving the social commentary that most anime doesn't do to people who look like us. And they made them into Demi humans. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you even see what they, like, just even see that and not even acknowledge all the rest of all that kind of stuff and still go with the 5K tells me that you're either not paying attention or you just don't see it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, this show is dope.
Doesn't say that.
I'm like, this show is dope. I'm enjoying myself. I did not want to stop on episode 15, even though I knew it was already going to happen. I still wanted to watch the rest of it because it's just an enjoyable ride. Is it the greatest anime I've ever seen? No. But you enjoy the ride. You know, as even I said, he's like, I don't know why I'm enjoying this shit. I'm here for it. Like, and I knew Rob would like it just because it falls into a fantasy world that just fits Rob. Like, just like, what Rob, what, this hits a lot of elements of a fantasy
world.
It's
better than Goblin Slayer, I'll fucking say that.
It feels to me like, as a Dungeons and Dragons player, Rob, this feels to me like a possible world you would create as the game master. You know, you just play, all right, well, here's the powers, guys, you know.
I was the only one that was just like, yeah, I'd give this world a shot. I'd fight some monsters for a job. That seems kind of fun. Yeah, no, yeah. It was a good pick for me.
Yeah. So for me, I'm enjoying it. Like, I get upset when I have to stop watching it. I'm not upset to sit down and watch the show ever. You know, even how busy I am, I'm still just like, I know I picked it, but you know, I'm not even upset. Like some of the episodes, a lot of episodes in the past in general, especially audience picks, I'm dreading sitting down to having to watch this shit, even though when I wasn't that busy. But these shows, I get through them and I'm just like, that was fun. And so I'm having a good time. My favorite moment overall was definitely the same one Rob said when he told the king to eat some shit. You know, when he was just like, come at me. Like, he literally took off his gloves and was just like, yo, who wants these? Yeah, this is for you, Ice. Who wants them? And then my least favorite point, I agree with Ice as well. I do not like the sexualizing side of things at all. I think it takes away from the show. It's completely unnecessary. And I can't speak to if the feather things come back or not later, but they could have done it in a different way, is what I would say. And so I'm like, if, you know what I'm saying? She bumps into Nafumi and they're like, you know, falls asleep on top of him and then turns into the, you know, the thing while he's, you know, and puts him to sleep. Any of that stuff kind of happened.
Even Philo telling Melty, like, oh, no, he could be your boyfriend or something like that. I'm just like, what the
unnecessary.
Fuck? Like,
unnecessary. No. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm paying attention to the subtle things. I'm looking at the nods to culture, to history. I'm looking at the naming of the things. I'm looking at the callbacks. So I'm giving this a 7,000.
Okay. I don't understand why, because I don't. Now I'm just like this idiot because I did not pay attention. It's like, I paid attention. I don't think it's executed well with that. So... that's all that
and
is.
And what would
it's
you like have done better in two episodes to depict the transatlantic slave trade?
I mean, I can't give you that answer right now because I don't have the time to, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, it's cool. Like,
we had a slave master whipping a slave. We had the cuffs. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying as a whole, the anime is just like, it's been cool. It's like the best animated moments are definitely the rage moments. I think Glass, I feel like hopefully she's the one that ups the show, but she is the best thing that's happened to this show, in my personal opinion.
You,
everything else
in a lot of ways, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, in a lot of ways, I feel like the action of the show, of an anime, is as important as anything else to you.
The action to a show can be if the show is not strong. I mean, like, we just watched Death Note. No real action. It's like, to me, it's like...
I said as important. I didn't say the most important.
No, I'm saying it depends how the story's written. If the story's written really, really well, the action doesn't have to be as important. It can be very little to none. But to me, I'm watching this, I'm just like, it's cool. The best thing to me is Glass jumping in and Philo. Those are the two best things to me. It's like, because Philo's funny.
Oh, so the two things that are the hands. Philo had the most hands and Glass gave everybody
hands. I just literally stated why. I said Philo because she's funny and she's just like, and she's about it, but she's like the character with the most personality to me. In that sense, that's just my personal opinion. But anyway,
I don't necessarily disagree with that.
I mean, I had the lowest score. I feel like when people give a low score to their pick, they always get very defensive.
Oh, yeah. I've been that way. You came to my show.
Everybody's done it here. Everybody's kind of done it. So,
hey, look, I want you to speak your truth. And like the thing is, I get to go last because this is my pick. So I'm happy you spoke your truth. I just spoke mine to yours. That's
never
reclaiming my time.
Yeah, I would never. Here's the thing, though. I don't knock even y'all for liking it. I'm just saying for me. But I get the elements that people like. This could be cool if you're in that type of style. So I don't necessarily knock it. It's just not as of right now. It hasn't been for me. I actually still have a pause right now at the end credits. but yeah, let us know what y'all think in the comment section. What is y'all score out of a 9,000 for these stretches of episodes? Answer the questions in the comment section if you heard them. And let us know if you watch this episode, what do you think? You don't got to put the spoilers in the end. But I'm hoping something turns up. I just want to know why the fuck the Shield hero is being targeted so heavily and hard. Nobody else was targeted so heavily and hard. So go ahead and drop your stuff, guys. Brennan.
Mr. Producer Face on the ground.
He's hot.
You don't appreciate real anime. You don't appreciate storytelling.
I just said, bro, like, you just didn't even see the... Hey. Didn't even bring up the transatlantic trace?
We brought it up somewhat last time. We talked about the slavery part of it last time. So I'm not going to keep
And I saw it, too. I just was like, you know... to Keenan's point, from the execution of it, I get it. I feel I feel like both of y'all scores are on outlandish spectrums. I think a 7,000 is pretty aggressive.
I don't even know why somebody's talking about outlandish scoring.
I was gonna say everybody's getting dragged in now. It's just collateral damage.
Nah, because I mean we can play the tape on that too. My scores are not super duper crazy in comparison to others. My take might be different, but my score, and y'all can do the research on that and we can see, but there's maybe
three people on this call disagree with you right now.
Outside of Cowboy Bebop, there really hasn't been an anime where my score didn't align with somebody's, within 500 or 600 points of somebody. I'll give you Cowboy Bebop because I don't think Cowboy Bebop was that great. But there really hasn't been
This is the part where you're just supposed to say your name and say peace out. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm just saying, y'all want to play some
What's
tape,
your name, Ice? Back. How can they find you?
Let me see. They can find me. They know where they can find me. Come on now. It's ice.mcgowan on everything.
Rob? Harvey Danger on Instagram.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, I'm getting Baker on every single thing. Also, you got to find a tape talking about Brennan, what you said about earlier, because I've been a lot of tape finding, and I don't think tape's been pulled up. So
I've pulled tapes several times. Like you said, when y'all said I never mentioned my kid, found tape on that. So I mean, that's one of the several times I pulled tape and been.
Right. I don't remember you doing it several times, but hey, pull the tape like you said for Brennan's thing. I want to hear it because I don't remember personally. So I'm not saying it didn't happen, but go ahead. I want to know. Find us on everything. Follow the Anime Shun podcast on every single thing. And see y'all next week. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. I drew a blank. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. Anime Shun, we out.
And so anime was solved forever.